This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on The Fan. National championship game tonight between Virginia and Texas Tech, a 1-3 matchup. Both teams, interesting roads traveled to get to this point. So we're going to bring on our good friend first to talk Virginia, Norm Wood, Daily Press, Newport News, Virginia, joining us on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Norm, thanks for coming on with us again, man. We appreciated the last visit. So I want to start with this. What was your vantage point or your opinion on the end of that Auburn-Virginia game? We were just discussing it and how wild and crazy it was.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, it's the Final Four, man. So my vantage point, frankly, might not have been the best. I was about 50 yards. I was technically on the floor, but I'd say it was about 40, 50 yards behind the basket. So, frankly, I was watching a lot of that game from the monitor high above the court, so I probably had a great seat if you wanted to look at it from a 70-foot television type viewpoint. But I got a good look at the replays, obviously, just like everybody else, and heard reaction and thought, obviously, there was something going on out there. And I specifically asked Ty Jerome after the game if he felt like he double-dribbled and he got away with one there. And obviously, his response was something that's been talked about an awful lot. You know, he felt like he got fouled on that final play, and you know, they weren't calling an awful lot of fouls during the game, and Auburn was trying to give fouls at the time. So his take on it was, if they didn't call that foul, then why would they call a double dribble right after that? So interesting take, interesting perspective, whether you like it or not. I don't know. I mean, it's one way of looking at it, but then obviously what transpired after that is going to be remembered for a long, long time, with Kyle Guy getting fouled. And I thought it was a legit foul. I did get a good look at that from my viewpoint. And you know, I've heard a lot of people say that, how could you call that foul right there? I'm kind of thinking that, why would you call that foul there? If you call it at the beginning of the game, why would you call it at the end? And the clutch free throws were unbelievable, man. It's just that to me was mind-boggling stuff when you look at Bryce Brown coming up and giving him the choke sign behind him. And, you know, he just kind of steps up and hits all three, including a timeout between the second and third one, and then gets it done.
I mean, what's the emotion around this team right now? I mean, you're looking at the last two games where that crazy ending against Purdue, going overtime, the shot with a couple of seconds left, length of the court, and they find a way to win it. And then in this weekend's game, they blew, what, 8 or 9, 10-point lead, you know, slowly evaporated late, and then they still find a way to win on those calls. I mean, are they just like a cat with nine lives walking on cloud nine right now?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, they did. They blew a 10-point lead in the closing minutes, missed six consecutive shots after building that 10-point lead, let Auburn go on a 14-0 run, and really got in the ropes right there. And I've heard a lot of talk in the last day and a half, I guess, about maybe this team being a team of destiny after, you know, losing in the first round in sort of historic fashion, you know, becoming the first one seed to lose to a 16 seed, as we all know, and now turning around and maybe doing a 180 and winning the championship this year. They've really kind of tried to avoid that talk a little bit. They don't shy away from it. This is a veteran group. I mean, with three guys in DeAndre Hunter and Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome that have played an awful lot of basketball, started an awful lot of games. So they're mature to the point that, you know, they can handle that kind of talk. And they've got a fifth-year senior that starts on the low blocks at times, Jack Salt. Mamadi Diakite has played an awful lot here this season, too. They're not terribly deep. So they got a lot of guys that have played a ton of minutes, and they've managed to stay fairly injury free this year. So I think they're well prepared for this stage, and they're playing a team tonight, obviously, that is a little bit of a mirror image in the fact that they put defense first and like to grind it out, but they do it a different way than UVA does.
Yeah. Norm Wood, our guest, Daily Press over there, Newport News, Virginia, Texas Tech tonight. I did want to ask you about that matchup and how you talk about their mirror image. Texas Tech, real athletic. They get after you defensively, just real intense team. With that depth, though, is there a part of you that worries about exhaustion and where these players are at right now? Because as you mentioned, depth is not one of their things. So having this team come after you defensively in a way that only really they've done in the tournament to other teams, how much that might impact the game?
Yeah, I would imagine it would be a bit of a concern for UVA, the coaching staff, just because they just got done facing a team that has an incredible amount of depth in Auburn. I mean, Auburn had 10 guys that all averaged double-digit minutes. I mean, that's unheard of, and that's sort of a Bruce Pearl-type stamp. So now you got another team tonight that goes pretty deep. UVA's compared what Texas Tech does on defense with his gambling style and flooding the post when the ball gets down there to what Virginia Tech did. And obviously that it's a little different in the fact that, again, Texas Tech's got a lot of bodies they can put out there. Virginia Tech, you know, they played six or seven guys. That's it. And so it's a little different in that regard, but they have seen a little bit of that style, the gambling stuff in the past, you know, going for steals, trying to get in the passing lanes and going for broke. So they're prepared in that regard. But yeah, it is going to be a challenge if Texas Tech can put a lot of bodies out there. And to me, the most fun matchup on the floor, I think, is to watch Jared Culver and DeAndre Hunter. Chris Beard mentioned yesterday that he fully expects to have Culver guarding Hunter, and I would suspect that UVA will go with vice versa there with Hunter on Culver. Hunter obviously being one of the best defensive players in the country, and both guys being potential top 10 picks if they come out early this year.
Yeah, how do you see it playing out tonight? Are you taking Virginia?
First team to 20, I think, man. I mean, seriously, this is not going to be. I'm not going out on a limb here. You've heard this from everybody, and I've seen both of these teams now. Seen an awful lot of UVA. It is not going to be terribly pretty. The good thing about if Virginia can get them playing their pace and their tempo, slow tempo equals quick game. So this thing might be over in an hour and a half, an hour 40 minutes or so, just because of turnovers. Don't commit a lot of fouls. The shot clock keeps rolling. So that's essential, obviously, for Virginia to get Texas Tech to play their game and play to slow it down a little bit. I think Virginia can win it, but it's going to be tight, and I'd be surprised if both teams are in the 60s.
Yeah, there we go. Norm Wood, great stuff, my man. Thanks for hopping on with us yet again. Norm Wood, Daily Press over there, Newport News, getting ready for the title game from Virginia's perspective. Norm, we appreciate it, man.
All right, guys, take it easy. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. There we go. Good stuff from Norm Wood. We move on to the other side. Texas Tech getting ready for Virginia in this title game. Aaron Dickens, RedRaidersports.com, joining us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Aaron, thanks for taking some time on a very busy day for you. I believe you heard the end of that interview with Norm Wood from Virginia. Your thoughts on this matchup for the Red Raiders after getting past Tom Izzo and Michigan State?
Yeah, just going to be another really tough test for this Texas Tech squad. And, you know, it's funny because, man, how many times in sports have we gone into matchups, whether it's, you know, NBA or college football or NFL, whatever, thinking and kind of as a group collectively, this is going to be a slugfest. This is going to be an offensive shootout, just all kind of pointing one way. And then, you know, the sports universe has a way of surprising us sometimes. Is it that crazy to think this game might surprise everybody and be a little bit more up and down than, you know, the 45 to 43 slugfest people are predicting? Yeah. I just wouldn't be surprised if we get a curveball tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Super Bowl. Two explosive offenses going in. What was it, 7-3, 10-3, whatever the final of that game was?
3-0 at halftime, I think. Yeah.
I mean, just from down there, how many people saw this coming? I know they were in the Elite Eight last year, but to get to this point, I mean, it feels like they've caught a lot of college basketball and just the sports world in general by storm, making it to this point. Was it expected that Texas Tech was going to be this good this year?
I mean, no. What are you kidding? I mean, I think going into the season, you know, folks in Lubbock and Tech fans and alum, the expectation, and we talked about this on my show too, was, hey, if they can just get back to the tournament, that's a gigantic success considering they lost four starters, you know, a lottery pick in Zaire Smith, a one and done, and a four-year, really, really good quality Big 12 guard, Keenan Evans. And yet, at every step of the way, they began to kind of show that this is a legit team that can win a Big 12 championship and maybe more. They go to toe-to-toe with Duke in Madison Square Garden in December. They lose that game, but they're right there in it with about 3 minutes to go. And they win in Morgantown to start the Big 12 play. They beat Kansas by 30 points, just absolutely tapped them out. And so I think, you know, if you just look at the last 2 months, I don't think Tech fans are surprised that they're here. But certainly no one would have expected, you know, in October or November that this team would be playing on the final day of the season.
Yeah. Aaron Dickens, our guest, getting ready for Texas Tech, Virginia. He mentioned it there. He hosts a show on Tech Talk 97.3. Also, RedRaidersSports.com is where you can find his work as well. You know, on our last guest said he talked about team of destiny, right? Some things have fallen in Virginia's favor, team of destiny type stuff. I think based on what you just said, you can make the same argument, though, for Texas Tech, which, look, maybe there isn't a lot of points. Maybe they surprise us and score. But I think that's the interesting part, too, is like the unpredictability and this whole label of team of destiny. You can make a great argument, Aaron, that Texas Tech might also be the team of destiny, given how they've played, given how things have broken for them and their seeding and where they were in their region. How are people in Lubbock feeling about that? And does it feel that way to you, the team of destiny this year with Texas Tech?
Yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily, you know, that angle. Certainly there's the underdog chip on the shoulder, a roster that is devoid of on-paper talent. Jarrett Culver was a three-star recruit, hometown kid. Tariq Owens and Matt Mooney, the grad transfers, Davide Moretti, an unknown coming over from Italy. So that's definitely an angle. But if you look at just their run through this tournament, Virginia has had some close calls, right? They trailed in that opener against Gardner-Webb, and everyone's thinking, oh, no, there's no way this happens for a second year in a row. And they pull it off, and they squeak by Auburn. And they've had some tougher kind of games along the way. This Tech team has kind of rolled through this thing, right? As unexpected of a trip and a journey as this has been, they roll over Northern Kentucky. They embarrass Buffalo. They just broke the poor Buffalo Bulls. They go toe-to-toe with Michigan and tap them out, swing for swing with Gonzaga, and then they beat Michigan State by 10 points in the Final Four, despite their two leading scorers kind of having no-show games, I mean, except for a late flurry of baskets by Jarrett Culver. At least through this tournament, and they've not really faced any kind of upset teams, right? They haven't had any kind of breaks in terms of an 11 seed popping up in their path or whatever. They've played pretty much the toughest team all the way through this thing, except for Michigan State beating Duke. So a lot of angles for this Tech team. I'm not quite sure Team of Destiny is one of them because, for the most part, there really haven't been that many close calls in this tournament.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I saw pictures from the celebration in Lubbock on Saturday night, and I know that they're canceling class or calling class off tonight and then taking the day off, I think, at the university tomorrow. What's the party going to be like if they win?
Lots of tear gas, some batons, maybe some tasers. I got to tell you, fellas, I was a little bit surprised that it got to that level on Saturday, but I guess that's just par for the course. I saw that there were 30 some odd arrests in East Lansing on Saturday the loss for Michigan State. So I chalk this up to kids being kids or just really dumb idiots. I have no idea. The funny thing is, and we talked about this morning too, is that, you know, are those people really like sports fans? Because, I mean, if I'm a Tech fan, if I'm a lifelong Tech fan, after Tech beats Michigan State, gets a slot in the national championship game, I'm calling my folks, my dad, my buddies. I'm absorbing watching press conferences, all that stuff. My first reaction would not be, let's go flip a car, you know? That just struck me as very odd.
Yeah. Real quick, Aaron, get you out of here on this one. Is if they win tonight and they win the national championship, is ESPN or any other national outlet going to give Cliff Kingsbury any credit for coaching up some of these players the way they do everybody else down there at Texas Tech?
I mean, that would be his first big win as a Tech coach ever, really. So, I mean, we'll see. I didn't get a lot of those big ones when he was coaching, but hopefully for his sake, he gets some in Arizona.
No, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Aaron Dickens, RedRaidersSports.com, 97.3 over there. Thank you so much for the time, man. Enjoy this game, and maybe Texas Tech is hoisting the trophy at the end of the night.
We'll see. Thanks, fellas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.